Victor knows the fine details of insuring firms like yours. For over 60 years, Victor has provided outstanding service and broad, flexible, and innovative professional liability solutions to engineering firms and ACEC members. As a Victor insured, you have access to free, on-demand continuing education courses, automated contract reviews, and endless risk management tools and resources to help manage projects and grow your business. Visit www.victorinsuranceus.com/ACEC to learn more. Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies, sponsored by Victor Insurance Managers, one of the largest and most experienced underwriting managers of professional liability and specialty insurance programs in the world. This is our inaugural podcast from the 2021 Fall Conference, coming to you from beautiful Marco Island, Florida. And of course, because it's in a physical environment, I didn't hit record before, so we're doing this for the second take.
Don't tell them. Pretend like it's brand new.
Full transparency.
You did it perfectly. We're doing great.
I am joined by Mitch Joel. He is our first keynote speaker of our convention, and he is a fantastic presenter on what's happening out there in the marketplace and from a marketing and kind of just how you're positioning your company to deal with what's happening in the world. And what's happening in the world right now is we're undergoing rapid change.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if the change is any different because of the pandemic. And one of the main messages I talk about, the title of my keynote is called The Great Compression, is that this isn't really about speed or transformation or innovation. If you look at the moment in time, what I would argue is we've had an acceleration of the businesses who hadn't been paying attention to this in the first place. Yeah. And then we had a bigger distribution of people who it impacts. So, you know, the very simplistic way to talk about that would be if you think about everybody from our K-1 kindergarten kids who were lucky enough to get homeschooling, all the way up to our eldest of elderly where we're slipping iPads underneath the nursing care or their apartments and just getting them onto FaceTime and getting the order. So I don't really look at this moment as being all that much, quote unquote, impressive in terms of what happened. I see it more as that acceleration distribution model because, you know, again, people ask me like, what's changed in your keynote? And the answer is not much. The audience has changed, that it feels more immediate, whether it's to the engineering industry or beyond.
You know, what you said during the keynote, I thought was really well put. This is not new. What we've been seeing has been happening for a while. But nobody's really been paying attention to it. And everybody's been doing a kind of an arm's length hold on it. But all the pandemic has done is uncovered or fastened the pace of what's already been happening in a lot of industries. Netflix is one that you use the perfect example of, the move to a subscription service, the way that Apple has kind of transformed itself from a hardware company into a services company.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the way things are going. Customers want a service. They want an experience. They don't want to buy ad hoc products.
Yeah, I mean, we spent many decades in business really talking about how do we create better experiences.
Yeah.
And what the pandemic exposed is that experiences, one, don't just happen physically. My argument prior to the pandemic is that the primary way we experience things is on our smartphone.
Yeah.
And that if we're building platforms that are web-based, not mobile-based, what does that say when we react to technology in a mobile-first way? Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect to it that I think, you know, needs a little pin on the idea of what it means.
Yeah.
The other side of it is we have this world where people feel like, well, now I had this moment to do it. And I don't know if they had the moment to do it so much as they were forced to do it.
Yeah.
And in the forcing of doing it, the real question that I want to see answered is, whatever they did, will they continue?
That's the big thing to me. What I was really, and I hope that everybody in the room came away with that in their mind, was when you said, whatever you did to evolve and change, whatever you did to involve and change during the pandemic to modify your business model, don't stop.
Well, not don't stop so much as don't go back.
Yeah.
It's very easy to go back to the things we are used to, thinking that we were servicing, mm-hmm. when in reality, the things we did here actually simplified the customer experience.
Yeah.
And how often are those two disconnected? And the answer is they're disconnected quite often in business. Mm-hmm. But now we're seeing that, oh, they can do it. They did do it. They had to do it. And the other thing that was, I guess, maybe more nuanced in the presentation, which we can amplify here, is this isn't just about Apple or Amazon. In fact, hopefully people didn't take that away as anchors from my presentation, only because I hate speakers who do that. Mm-hmm. Here, let me compare you to a $1 trillion market. I don't like that. What I like is the stories I tell about the local sushi restaurant or the local retailer.
Yeah.
These are small independent businesses owned by people who you would not traditionally see as being hyper innovative or digitally savvy, who figured out ways to not go under, and in doing so, created new business models. So when we talk about not going back, it's less about that and more about there were new business models you created.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let those go. Why would you let new business models go?
No, and that's a great point. I mean, look at us. I mean, the Trade Association, we never really thought we'd do a podcast. Now we started it and it's growing, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and
look, I saw you come in. We're here early.
Yeah.
And I knew you're the podcast guy because you're walking in with this Rodecaster, which to me, I use for my two shows and other things, is the greatest piece of technology ever. You're talking about a device that looks like a couple of books in terms of size that is broadcast quality. You've got these Aphex onboard vocal things that are making hopefully my dulcet tone sound very warm and nice.
Very nice and resonant.
Right. But that's, you know, this is where magic happens. And so the fact that the ACEC invested in these Mevo cameras, invested in quality microphones. Again, I could do a quick scan here and tell you this was under $5,000.
Yeah.
This wasn't even a big expenditure. And now you're in the storytelling, broadcasting, human business. I love that.
And that's something which our member firms can do. You're engineers, but you're also working to make the world a better place. Your projects actually do translate into positive community improvements and national improvements. That's a story that you can tell. You can tell it not just through a website. Your experts, your thought leaders, find different ways to connect with potential customers, either public or private sector, you know, marketplace customers, and tell that story in a compelling way. Podcasts, videos, your example of the guitar store in California with YouTube.
Norman's Rare Guitars. Yeah. I mean, look, I started my podcast. I have the longest running business podcast in the world. I don't say that to brag. I'm coming up on 800 episodes. I do it every Sunday. I've never missed a Sunday. So you could do the math on how many decades plus that has been. And it is a very selfish act that I do.
Yeah.
I do the podcast because it allows me to have conversations like this with smart people. Those conversations establish me to a certain degree as some kind of thought leader, but it also creates a network.
Yeah.
And it's a network that I definitely leverage and use. It also provides me with tremendous learning. I mean, I love to read. I've always been nerdy like that. So what's better than reading? How about spending an hour with the person who wrote the book after if you're having a coffee?
Absolutely.
And like what we're doing here is pretty casual. I mean, people hear the ambient noise. They hear the tin cans opening. If the window were open, they'd hear the breeze coming in. But what we're actually doing is having a very candid conversation. It's not really Q&A based. And the ACEC is going to be able to leverage this conversation as a form of thought leadership, as a way that maybe for those who weren't here, to think about some of these concepts in a different way, and maybe as a way for the people who are here, instead of getting a PDF of my slides, which are useless, I might add, to really think about or rethink the concepts we discussed.
Yeah. It's that added context. It's what's outside of the client pitch. What are the things that you're under gun to get through, to get to either selling your services or your product? This is your freedom to actually use all that thought leadership that you have to tell your story.
And you could do it in different ways. Like, you know, when I'm asked about this, and I actually give a session on how to build a content marketing center of excellence, it happens to be one of my pedigrees for a long time. I often talk about it like, okay, you're hearing a podcast. Yeah, I don't want to get on the mic. This is a world of text, images, audio, and video, long form, short form, live, pre-recorded. And again, all you have to find is the tenacity within your organization to decide, who is the storyteller here? Like in this case, for ACEC, it happens to be you, good sir, in your beautiful jacket.
Very, very South Florida.
Yeah, but it happens to be you who probably looked at a landscape and thought, I could do this and it's not that hard to do. And I actually would like to do this. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's Twitter. You know, it's 280 characters and it's easy and I can share articles and links that make sense, that are valuable. So I don't even hold an esteem towards a certain type of it. I just think that you can. Text, images, audio, video, live, pre-recorded, short form, long form. There's got to be something in there for you.
And low barrier to entry. It doesn't take a lot.
It takes a lot in terms of committing. It takes a lot in terms of
commitment.
There's a lot of creation aspect too that people take for granted. I mean, I'm watching you do what you do. You're obviously very good at what you do. We've never met before, but you know, someone like you and I would probably get along going forward because we'll be in podcasting groups and we'll connect about things like that. I think it's a higher barrier if you're not a creator. If you're not a creator, it's not hard to find creators. Look to your industry. Look to your trade. See which of the journalists you like who might have recently been, you know, sent to the unemployment line or have decided to be a part of this great resignation, and figure out ways that you could maybe leverage them or your PR department or people within any sector within your organization. There must be someone there who was on the high school newspaper or someone who was shooting documentaries.
Yeah.
These are the people you're looking for.
Yeah, find them and then give them the tools and the freedom to create. Chris, I want to bring you in because
Chris,
I know you're our, I mean, listen, I'm sorry for hogging the microphone, but you're our marketer.
I was giving my back. I felt worse.
No, it's okay. It's a very lateral setup we have here. So it doesn't
Chris,
allow
get
for
in
a lot
front
of cross
of us. Yeah, exactly.
So Chris, what was your big takeaway from the presentation today?
You know, Mitch, I thought it was wonderful. There's a lot that you filled up the time with. And what I really took away, I think, was just the fact that everything is progressing so quickly, right? And that balance of, are we still going to go forward? Are we going to take a step back? You had the online shopping statistic, which has grown. And can you talk a little bit about that and what you see moving forward, if you think that will continue?
Yeah, so in the e-commerce world, there was this idea of 30-30, that by 2030, 30% of all commerce would be digital or e-commerce. And where we were prior to the pandemic was somewhere around the 15% world. And during the pandemic, I think there were moments we were hitting 70, 80% in some instances for obvious reasons. And it's settled down, but it is sitting and riding in that 30 plus region, which is a testament to habits can be created in short ways. And so if you have a world that is basically doubled in terms of their e-commerce consumption, remember Amazon was a $1 trillion business before the pandemic. What is that opportunity for you? How are you thinking about ways to digitize the commerce, the transactions of your business? I think about it a lot, not just in terms of the world, but in terms of my own businesses. Where are the sticking points for me where I haven't digitized the commercial aspect of it enough? So, you know, speed, again, I kind of dismiss speed. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, Chris. It's just technology has always been fast. Again, what happened here is that acceleration of more people having to use it across this distribution component. That to me was the bigger one. I think I got that right. It might have been distribution and something else, but I'm tired now.
Yeah. Well, I do want to be sensitive on time. It's 10:03. I know that you have a tight schedule. So
podcasts happen infinitely. They don't have a time.
Well, that's
no one knows that it's 10:03.
Well, that's true. That's true. I have to get away from the
it's
time.
It's
2
in the
place.
Morning, and it's we're hanging out true. After just, the event.
Yes,
we've seen Five for Fighting in concert, and now we're just talking.
Yes, exactly. We're in our club chairs, and we're having
cognac.
A drink. Yes, exactly, in a fireplace. But Mitch, I do appreciate you taking the time to join us. I thank you again for presenting in front of our group, and I'm sure that they learned a lot and took something out of it, and I hope that we can have you back on in the future.
It was a pleasure. I love seeing association trade groups do this sort of stuff, so you know where to find me. I would be happy to be back. It's a great tool, and happy podcasting.
So if we do have a listener out there who's going, I want to get in touch with him, or I want to find out exactly where I can get more Mitch Joel, where can they go?
Easy. 6pixels.com or MitchJoel.com will take you to everything from my writing to my podcast to my speaking to all the other projects I'm involved in. I'll see you there.
Wonderful. Mitch Joel again. And thank you very much for coming onto the program. This has been the inaugural conference episode of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. We will see you very soon.